ZZ Top saying they just got paid, which must mean that our sports betting insider, John Denton, is here with us because the John Denton special has been getting us all papered up here, hitting over 60%. John, welcome back to the program, my friend. We've got the Final Four coming up this weekend and the national championship in college basketball on Monday. Brother, how you doing? You still loving the month of March in the final day?
Oh, yeah. Loving March, final day. Going to put some last bets in for the weekend here today with you guys. And look to finish out this football and basketball season, man, hitting about 62, 63%. So it's been a good run.
It's been a great run, John. And for purposes of education, in order to be a profitable bettor, okay, you're supposed to hit, to make profit, 53.2 to 5% of your bets. Clipping over 60 means you're coming into the money just about each and every time. Now, we've talked about this a lot too, John. Are you supposed to look at gambling in a really short-term, immediate sort of a way? Are you supposed to look at this thing in a long-term fashion?
You got to look at it as a marathon. You got to look at it as, especially when there's so much to bet on over the course of a 12-month span, a year. You got to have good bankroll management. You got to have an understanding of what sports that you like to watch, first of all, what sports interest you, and what sports you can make money on. And again, football rolls into basketball rolls into baseball and hockey, and then you get into football, it just never ends. So having some good discipline, but also knowing that, you know, tomorrow is another day, and never get too high, never get too low.
Yeah, that's one of the things I feel, John, scares off a lot of novice bettors is the highs and the lows, right? You think about the win, you're like, oh, gosh, I feel great. I feel smart. I feel activated. You know, I feel assured that I did the right thing and I'm making some money. The losses can be ego blows, right? You feel like you don't know anything. You had yourself a great system, a great plan, and all of a sudden it's just not working. But that's where you really come to the long-term approach. And one of the things, John, that we're really lucky to have you for here on this program is this. You're an analytics guy. You're a data guy. You're all about the numbers. And when you played quarterback, I know that went into play with some of your game planning. But now, as you've continued on in your life and career, I mean, analytics, research, these become the guideposts for how you make your bets. At what point did you start as a bettor? At what point did you start to say, look, I'm going to get serious and start to do research as opposed to just doing what a lot of us did when we got into it, just gut reaction betting?
The day that I kept going up to the going up to the counter and started betting 5-team parlays, $10, hoping to win the house pay, you know, hoping to win the house cover for the month, right? And I think it literally just came down to, okay, I'm spending money on something and I'm not doing very well. Either I'm going to stop doing this because the wife is telling me, hey, no more. Your return on investment is not very good. Or you got to have to start getting better at it. And again, I just stopped betting for a while and I really just went into, you know, research mode. Found some guys that I thought were very knowledgeable about not only the sport but about gaming, and kind of rode their coattails for a little bit. Did some practice wagering, kind of some wagering on the side without any money. Sure. Like, ooh, I like this game. I like this game. And just kind of got a rhythm and finally said, hey, all right, now it's time to open up the bank account, put a little money into an account, and we'll go from there. And again, that taught me, you know, single game betting is by far the most profitable, right? When you start parlaying and you start teasing and you start doing some of this stuff, the odds start to lessen in your favor. And so again, reducing the parlays that I hit or that I was putting in. It's always nice to hit a 5-team parlay, but those are so far few in between that, you know, those one-game bets, and again, taking that money that you win on game one, putting a little bit of the roll onto the next game, and you just feel more comfortable having one game to worry about as opposed to, oh, I'm three wins into a 5-team parlay, and oh, I got bad beat on the fifth game. You don't lose, you lose everything, so...
You lose everything, and you also lose at times, John, you lose your desire for gambling, right? Because you start to put money out there for these 5-team parlays, these teaser cards, and then you get smoked, and you're just like, wow, I can't do this. This isn't going to work out. But like you've mentioned, those are always harder to hit. The single-game bets, I think, is where folks go as they get more and more comfortable. Now, if you've got a really strong feeling on, let's say, 5 different games, I don't think it's a bad idea to tie those games together that you've made individual wagers on, John, into a parlay card and just seeing what happens. You can put a lot less on one of those 5-team parlays than you would have to make on a straight wager in order to make your money. You know, if you feel strongly about those games, would you say it's a bad idea to make a parlay in that case?
No, no, not at all. Not a bad idea. I mean, again, if you've got the bankroll and you put a small portion of your wagering into the parlays or the teams that you like, I still do it. I've been betting what we put on the show every week. So I give my bets. This is what I bet. So I have made 5-team parlays or 3-team parlays based off of the ones that I've and we've hit 3 or 4 this season already.
Yeah,
on
3-0,
4-0, 6-0. So again, those pay for itself, right? Those, you hit one or two of those and they're going to pay for yourself as long as you're using that bankroll management and not, you know, not going out of your means. But yeah, if you like 4 or 5 games, it's worth a shot putting a little $5-$10 on it and, you know, coming out with a little $500-$600 parlay. Absolutely.
You know, John, and you brought something else up that I just want to touch on briefly, because we've always got new listeners coming to the program. Folks are being told about the show from other folks. Friends are inviting friends, and I really appreciate that, because you guys are so awesome by doing that and inviting your friends to listen to the show. Let's talk just briefly about bankroll management and what a unit is, because this is something that a seasoned sports bettor knows all about. But if you're just getting into this, right, you don't know what bankroll management really is about. You don't know what a unit is really about. So let's start with this. What is, in your estimation, good bankroll management? And then what would you define as a unit?
Well, a unit to me is, in sports betting in general, is a common way to keep track of your bets, profits, losses, without kind of a dollar value. So the value of a unit can vary between people depending on their individual bankroll. A single unit, one unit, is the baseline amount of the money you place on any given wager. So for me, a unit is $100, is what we call a dime, right? $100. So I play one unit. Sometimes you have to give a little bit more than the unit if you're playing the juice, like in the games today that I'll pick. You know, -115 is one of the odds. So you'd have to lay -115. So that would be a unit for me.
Okay, and then as far as bankroll management is concerned, because a unit, like you've mentioned, can depend on what your bankroll is. Generally, the rule of thumb is between 1% to 5% of your total bankroll, okay? So whatever you're looking at as far as your total bankroll, a unit is generally defined in that range. Some people take it up to 10, but I don't. But let's talk about bankroll management and the importance of that, John. Like, for a lot of folks, again, you start off gambling, you hit a couple of parlays, you hit a couple of single teamers, and you feel like, well, this is just going to go up and up and up from here, and you become loose, right? You become a little loose. You start making bets that you probably shouldn't. So in your estimation, what is the key to bankroll management then?
I think the first thing to bankroll management is being okay and being comfortable with losing the amount of money that you're willing to risk.
Okay.
That's the first
thing.
That. Because again, it's gambling, right? You have to be able to part ways. You have to be okay with parting ways with, you know, the $500 that you put into your BetUS account, right? You have to be able to have that discretionary spending as well. So that's the second thing, right? So if you're hoping to win the mortgage payment this year on this $500 that's going into the BetUS, that's probably not a good idea, as we've talked about before. So again, you have to have some discretionary spending. You have to have kind of an idea of, hey, I'm okay with losing $500 this month or $500 this year on this stuff. And then it comes down to, again, the research and the time that it takes to make these bets is you know, it's completely up to you. So you're going to get out what you put in specifically to the sports betting world. I truly believe that. So the more you follow folks that are on the up and up, that have been doing it for years, they'll help you with bankroll management, because they'll say, hey, one unit on this game. Why do I feel it's one unit? Because I don't feel as strong. But this next game here, next week, could be 5 units because they feel twice or 5 times as strong. So follow folks that are a little bit more knowledgeable than you. It's okay. It's okay to say, hey, I don't know as much as you. I'd like to learn. Even touch them, you know, tweet at them, talk to them on Twitter. These guys love giving picks. They love giving information. And they think at some point you'll say, hey, you've been giving me some good information. I really want the good nuggets now, right? And hopefully you come on board with one of their prop services.
Sure. And just so we've got, we've got a couple of minutes, John Denton, our sports betting insider, to plug some of our friends in the industry. Rob Misch writes for Gaming Today. Rob used to be our sports betting insider, John, before you took his role over. Rob also writes for the Chicago Sun-Times, and you can find his stuff at Gaming Today. Also, wagertalk.com. Wagertalk.com is a go-to resource both John and I and a lot of sharp bettors use. And it does allow you the look behind the curtain in some cases as to what's going on in the minds of some of these professional sharp bettors. Now, not all the information, like you've mentioned, is going to be free, but lots of it is. So I recommend WagerTalk.com and Gaming Today as a couple of just go-to websites to take a look at. John, let's transition now from the nuts and bolts of sports betting, and I appreciate you walking us through that. That's a Sports Betting 101 from John Denton. Let's get your Final Four picks and national championship pick this morning, because I know that you've got them in our John Denton special.
Yeah, so let's look at this. I'll give you some bets first. I'll give you my takes on who's going to win, and then I'll give you the championship run here. But I got two bets that I'm going to make in the Saturday games already. So Villanova, Kansas, you're looking at a first half total of 62. I've already played it this morning. I played the first half under 62. That was my minus 115 at BetUS. Listen, I think you're going to have just the eye test of Villanova, the injury to Justin Moore, right? Their backcourt's a little bit depleted, even though they've got some decent depth. There are people that are coming in off the bench are only scoring 2-3 points a game, so there's not going to be really much of a scoring threat. There's under trends galore here when you look at everything, plus the eye test. It's just really glaring to me. And I think we had the same situation with Iowa State last weekend, like that team total under 65.5.
That's right.
When you look at just the last five games or the last recencies of these two teams, right, under 7-2 the last nine of Kansas when they're playing a winning team, under 7-3 the last 10, Kansas is a favorite, under 8-1 the last nine, Villanova on a neutral site, under 14-3 the last 17 Villanova after against the spread win. So when you add all that stuff up and you look at what this game is, it's 133-point total for the full game. I think this game is going to come down to the possessions, right? Two or three possessions. Could anywhere within this game, whether it's the first half or second half, a two or three possession lull for any one of these teams is going to dictate this game. I do think Villanova has great free throw shooting, which could keep them in at the end. But I really do think these two teams come out and just start slugging it out in the first half.
Yeah,
This
is going to be ugly, John. No, this is going to be ugly. If the final score is 65-50, I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't.
and you think about Villanova, they've had a lack of scoring, but 23.8 points per game the last five games they're allowing in the first half. So their defense has been quite astounding, too. Kansas hasn't been shooting the ball very well in the first half either, only 29 points per game in the last five. So again, I really like this game to start out slow, probably pick up the pace towards the end and somewhere get around that 133 towards the end, I really do think. But I do like the under first half, Villanova and Kansas. I do like Kansas coming out on top, even though I have Villanova at the plus 1,200 to win the title. I'm going to ride that, so I'm not making a team bet on any one of these games.
Okay.
But I do think Kansas ends up coming out just because of the star power and a little bit more offensive firepower.
Well, it makes sense. And while Villanova might have some good depth, they don't play that depth. They usually have a six-man rotation. So
yeah.
The players that they've got, I don't know much about. I love this. Under 62 first half total, minus 115 at BetUS. All right, what do you have for us next? What's the next play?
Yeah, so there's two teams that are playing in the nightcap. I'm not sure if anybody's ever heard of them, but they're UNC
have, yeah.
and Duke.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Once or twice.
What I suggest you do is get your tennis neck on, right? get your track shoes laced
okay.
up, because this game's going to go back and forth, right? You look at the total, over 151 is the total. I bet the over this morning of 151. And I'll give you a kind of, again, these two things were glaring to me, both that Villanova and this Duke game, is the last three meetings of these two teams. We had the one at Coach K's farewell, and then we had two in the regular season this year, two in the last three totals were 153, 152.5, and 152.5.
Okay.
All three games combined to go over the total by 56 points.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot of over.
And you're talking about, when you talk about teams getting into the early 90s, the late 80s, I think this is a track meet. I'll give you some stats to back it up. Over 6-0 the last six of North Carolina games versus winning teams. Over 8-2 the last Duke games, 10 overall. Over 4-0 the last four Duke games versus winning teams. This game is played in the 80s, folks. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have an 87, 82 game, something like that. I'm taking the over 151 all day. I do think Duke comes out on top with a little bit of a revenge situation here. So I got Kansas Duke in the final.
All right, Kansas Duke in the final Monday night. We'll be tipping off the college basketball national championship. So these are our two plays. We've got Villanova, Kansas, under 62, first half total, minus 115 bet US. We've got UNC Duke going over 151. I want to say that's minus 110 at bet US as well. Yep. Now, in the national championship, Duke, Kansas, who do you think wins? I know we're not making a play on this, but who do you think wins?
You know, I somehow just deep down inside, just thinking about this game, I think Kansas comes out on top.
Kidding.
I think they're able I think they're able to match Banchero with the Agbaji kid.
You know, they're both that's not
six,
a bad
six,
take.
6'7". I think you cancel those two guys out, and again, Kansas has got a decent squad. They're just kind of under the radar, and you know, Duke's been flying high. It'll be a lot of pressure for those kids at Duke in that final game to win that sucker for Coach K. Might see a little bit of squeaky cheeks come Monday night. But I don't know. I like Kansas to come out and win it.
I like this. You know what I would like to see then? If Mike Krzyzewski does end up losing, I want to see Larry Johnson, Anderson Hunt, Stacey Ogman, and Greg Anthony, like, hopefully on the call. But I want to see all those dudes just like, and you thought you were good this year, did you? Okay, well, somebody's going to go ahead and eat your lunch. Well, John, look, this is a really, really, really interesting Final Four. Villanova, Kansas, like you've mentioned, these two teams are going to slug it out. I tend to agree with your assessment that UNC Duke, they're going to be back and forth for the majority. And then, of course, Monday, we've got Duke and Kansas possibly in the national championship, with Kansas possibly coming out on top, according to John Denton. If you have tuned in late, maybe you missed John's Sports Betting 101 or today's picks. I'm going to include the audio from today's segment on the website, WKTYsports.com, 1 o'clock. JD, I got to go because we got our news dude looking at me sideways, but thank you so much for this awesome plays today. I know we've got some winners here, and you and I will be in touch over the weekend, but love it, man. Good John Denton special for us today.
Sounds good. You guys have a great weekend, and enjoy the tournament.
All right, thanks, JD. We'll talk to you soon. Don't forget, follow John on Twitter at Johnny Utah, J-O-N-N-Y underscore Utah.